So, first part of this lesson is going to be a history part. Who likes history?
I love history.
You love history?
All history.
It's all right. Huh?
Isn't it almost all history?
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. You could say that. In a way. But I do actually like to try to do some appliance, application to now. So that's not now. That's not history. But, so there's history, you could either go a lot of detail, or medium detail, or no detail. Right?
We had a war.
We won.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. Right? So I'm a little medium, I feel. Right? You guys don't like it? With a lot of detail, people glaze over, it seems like. Yeah. So. So, on a warm summer evening, there's a little bit of detail. Some warm summer evening in southern Macedonia, a road bound for nowhere. God met up with a young man of 75. His name was Abram. God tells him to go west. Soon his name will be changed to Abraham. You know, the 16th president, freed slaves, got shot, right? Right? Oh, no, not Abraham Lincoln. This is a different Abraham. What Abraham am I talking about?
I mean, do we know his last name?
Do you know the Abraham I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We know.
Does he have a last name?
Yes, that's
it.
Does he have a last name? This is really early.
This is really early, so no. He has an Abraham father. Oh, I had it. I read it, but right. But so Abraham. Who's Abraham in the Bible?
Abraham. He's a cool guy.
He was a very cool guy, right? I did say this a couple, 3-4 weeks ago, but that's all right.
3-4 weeks.
So Abraham is the father of all Jewish people, right? He's like, you know the old song, your father Abraham? Yeah. So he's the father of Israel.
I thought that was like an exaggeration. I don't know.
No, there's an actual guy, right? And God told him, he promised him that, yeah, we're going to go over it. So Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, Jesse. So, the year is 1900 BC something. God tells Abram, you know, you're 75 years old, it's time to move out of your parents' house. You know, it's been long enough. And he gives him a lot of promises, right? He says, to a land that I will show you. You know, basically saying, follow me, and I will guide you. I will show you the way to go, and I'll give you lands to stay in, and ultimately, I will take you to the promised land. And the promised land is Israel, right? So, there's that, and I will make you a great nation. So, Israel is still around today, right? Right? And there's never been a nation that ceased being a nation and came back to being a nation ever, world history. So it's you know, you would say it's a great nation. Just the amount of people that are associated or part of that nation, so it's a great nation. You know, and your name will be great because everybody remembers who Abraham is, right?
Yep.
Right, right. So he has a great name. Abraham will be blessed and others will be cursed. So Israel has defeated many other nations, right? So there's that. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So my Bible, just like what it says up here, it says not just Abraham's family, but all the families of the earth. That would also include not just Jewish people, but Gentiles, right? And Jesus being born through Abraham's lineage, which he is, you know, Jesus for sure blessed everybody, didn't he? He blessed the whole world. So that promise has come true. Now, Abraham is how old? 75, right? His wife is 10 years his minor, which would make her...
What?
10 years his minor. Means 10 years younger, yes.
Okay.
So it would be her, she would be... Right, so it's not just history, it's math too. How many kids do you think at this point, you know, God said you're going to be a great nation. How many kids do you think they have at this point?
Zero.
But they'll make a great nation. Okay. They're 75 and 65.
Okay, they don't have it.
Zero kids.
Right, zero kids, but still the promise of a great nation. A great nation being a huge nation. So then we'll fast forward 10 years. Well, fast forward 10 years. No kids yet. No kid yet. Today, typically, women stop being able to have kids between 45 and 55. Ah, la, la. Now, that's not always the case. There's been cases where ladies have had them in their 50s and so, but typically by 50, they pretty much are done. The baby factory is shut down, they close the doors and lock them up, right? Now, 10 years later, so Sarah, Abraham's wife, is what? How old?
65.
10 years. So, but 75, at 75, Sarah's thinking, you know what? I'm not getting any younger. Maybe God needs help. Yeah, I'm sure God needs help. All right? I'll figure out a way to help him. Typically, don't get offended. Typically, women are problem solvers. They like to solve problems. Typically. Now, Sarah does the math in her head. She's like, alright, I came up with a plan. I have a plan. Genesis 16, 1 and 2, Aiden. So, what a good husband. He listened to his wife.
This reminds me of a paternity core episode.
So, yeah, that happened. So, Hagar gets pregnant, right? Operation Help God is on the way. It's on its way. One itsy bitsy hang up. Sarah no longer likes this plan.
Oh, okay.
She's like, I know it was her plan, but she's like, hey, I don't know about this. This isn't feeling right to me. She gets jealous. She's jealous, and Al, every time she sees Hagar, she's very jealous, so she treats Hagar very cruelly, very meanly, right? What is Hagar to do? She runs away. Peace out. So she runs away, right? She's off. She's like, no, I'm not dealing with this. So then God's angel comes and ministers to Hagar. In Genesis 16, 10 through 12. Lana?
Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for a multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren.
So Hagar's son will have a great nation. Just like the promise that God put on Abraham, you know, with his son, Hagar's son has that same promise. And that great nation is going to be the Arabians. Because God heard the cries of Hagar. Now, Hagar was a Gentile maidservant, right? Or a slave. So what that means is that it doesn't matter who we are, what we are, God is always going to be with you, right? Now, only two nations from the Bible, Middle East, are still around today. The Jewish and the Arabians. Now, the Arabians, basically you would say, are Muslims. Now, because Ishmael is Abraham's firstborn, this is why the Muslims feel like, oh, no, we have our right to Israel, to Jerusalem. That is our birthright. You know, but this is all done because God heard Hagar's cries. Then period. Then God also tells, kind of like a warning, says Ishmael is going to be a wild man, meaning that he's always ready to fight. You know, he has a short fuse, he has a temper, and he's always going to be ready to fight, and that's what he's going to do. He's always going to be in conflict with his neighbors. In the conflict, you know, on who owns Jerusalem, it's been heated ever since, right? It hasn't slowed down. It hasn't cooled down. It's very heated. It's always, the Muslims are, has always been in conflict with their neighbors. Now, Hagar, so the Lord convinces her to go back, right? She goes back and lives with Abraham and Sarah. Now, we'll fast forward one more time. It's been 15 years now. So Sarah is how old? 90. And then Abraham is 100 years old. So I know people lived longer back then, but still, Sarah is way, way past baby-making age, right? 90 years old. It's like, she probably can't get out of bed. But she's old. Then along comes little baby Isaac. Oh. Right? Now, I don't think Sarah ever liked Ishmael. Ishmael would be about 15, teenager, annoying, right? Typical. And Sarah catches him scoffing. Oh my gosh, scoffing.
Gosh, no.
He scoffed. He scoffed towards her little baby Isaac.
Ew.
And that was enough. That was enough. She had had it. Genesis 21, 9 through 10. Cassia.
And Sarah saw the son of Hagar and the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, scoffing. She said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of his bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. Oh.
Oh.
Okay. Actually, being like this. Annoying.
I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot. But God tells Abraham, he says, well, listen to your wife. So God did promise, you know, he told Abraham, well, I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to make a great nation out of Ishmael. So Abraham was like, okay. So, but he kicks Hagar out of his house. Kicks her out, and his son too. Now, I told you that story so I could tell you this story.
Okay.
Now, Paul's target audience is the Galatians. We're still in Galatians. His target audience is the Galatians, right? The letter's written to them, but he's also, his target audience is also the ones who are teaching that you need to have the law in order to be saved. Now, those people would have definitely loved Abraham. You know, that's their great-great-grandpa, right? They love him. And the Galatians would have also known who Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar were. Paul would have told them, because if he didn't, there'd be no reason for him to bring up their names, right? No more annoying if you had a letter and you had to, like, I don't know who that is. Like, doesn't apply to me. So, obviously, they know who these people are. So, Galatians chapter 4, 21 and 22. Jesse.
Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it was written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman.
So Paul is finishing up his arguments about the bondage of the law and the freedom found in Christ. Now he uses the example of Abraham's two sons. One by a bondwoman. What's a bondwoman? Not James Bond. I'm sorry. You could change your answer.
I was going to say a slave.
Oh, then you're right. That was just me. I'm sorry. No, it is a slave. It's a slave woman. Now, who is she? What's her name?
Hagar.
Hagar, right? And her son is?
Is he still important?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He's kicked out. He's not. No. The other is the free woman. Free woman meaning she is?
She's not a slave.
Not a slave, right? Yes, you guys are on it. And son?
What?
No.
Okay. Sarah's son?
It's not that hard.
Little baby?
What do you
want to
know?
Sarah's son.
Yeah?
Yeah. That guy. The name?
His name? Okay.
Yeah. How old is he right now?
Old.
Multiply by. No.
Isaac.
Oh my gosh, he said that.
He said
Isaac.
He said that like three times.
Oh, did he?
He did. He said Isaac.
You did? I didn't hear you. Sorry. Sorry. I'm hard of hearing. So. I forgot where I was. All right.
Galatians 4.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So let's go to 23. Aiden.
But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise.
So it says, but he Ishmael was born of a bondwoman, was born according to the flesh, right? Was of the bondwoman according to the flesh. So, remember how Abraham and Sarah attempted to help God, right? They tried to help fulfill God's promise through their own works and their own power. Right? How'd that work out for them? It didn't work out well, did it? It wasn't good. Now he, Isaac, of a free woman through promise. So Sarah, she was this young girl, right?
Yeah, young and sprightly.
Right, young and sprightly, I like that. Yo, just a young maiden, just out of high school. No, she's 90 years old, way past getting pregnant age, right? So the only way she could have gotten pregnant is supernaturally. Right? Through the Spirit, not through work, but through God. That was the only way she could have gotten pregnant. You know, it wasn't, no big deal. No, it was a huge deal. Huge deal. Galatians 4, 24 and through 26. Nada.
Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all.
So Paul's looking at two other things, right? Two more things, and it's the two covenants. There's the one from Mount Sinai, and that's where the birthplace of the law, right? And it's where God gave the law to Moses, right? So according to Paul, the bondage that has a hold on Jerusalem. And then the covenant of Abraham that bring forth Jesus in heaven in freedom. Now, the Jerusalem above, that is a place, right? There's Jerusalem, and there's Jerusalem above, and Jerusalem above represents heaven. Now, the question Paul is asking is not whether we should have an alliance with Jerusalem. It's his question is, which Jerusalem should we have alliance with? The new Jerusalem or the old Jerusalem? He's asking if the Galatians will follow the short-sightedness of the present Jerusalem in its legalism, or the liberty and freedom of a heavenly Jerusalem. Chapter 4, verse 27. Cassia.
For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband.
So Paul quotes, a famous prophecy. And this prophecy is talking about the restoration of Israel. The restoration of Israel after its judgment in exile. Sorry. So, meaning that Israel was taken away, right? They had to get out of the land. They were taken out of the land. And they were being judged. A lot of people died. Yada, yada, yada. Then they came back. Right? Because it's saying that prophecy is saying that, you know what, you're going to be an even bigger nation than you were before you were judged. You know, you were a big nation, but you're going to even be a bigger one. He's basically saying is that under the law, Israel's numbers are small compared to what they will be under grace. Because that number is still growing, right? People are still getting saved. And we're under grace, meaning that we're part of that nation of Abraham's. and it's growing still. Galatians 4, 28 through 29. Jesse?
Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise, but as he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now.
Sorry. Paul's talking about the persecution. He's talking about like how Ishmael scoffed at Isaac, right? Just like how the Judaizers, the ones who were trying to force the law upon the Galatians, talked down to them. Now, the Galatians needed to stop listening to the lies. They needed to stop listening to lies and get rid of bad influences. Just like Hagar and Ishmael were kicked out of Abraham's family, we need to kick out bad influences. Galatians chapter 4, 30 and 31. Hayden?
Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of bondwoman, but of the free.
So in the Father's house, there's two types of people. There's those who are workers and they have no inheritance coming to them. And then there are the sons and daughters, the heirs to the kingdom. Seems like a pretty much no-brainer choice of who you want to be, right? There's this commercial, I can't even remember what it's for, but it has like Charles Barkley in the playground, and they're picking people to play on basketball teams. No, it's like, who do you want to pick? You want to pick an NBA player or a little kid? It's a no-brainer, right? Yet, all the time, people get in the way. People want control. People want to do things without help. There's this other commercial. There's another commercial. And it's this guy bench pressing. No? No, you guys didn't see that one either.
Last one I saw, guys.
So he's bench pressing, right? He gets a little bit too much to handle. This guy rushes over to help him out. He's like, no, bro. I got it. I'll figure a way out. It's like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw
one. I can relate because I could be the worst. I could be the worst about asking for help. But I'm working on it. I just this morning I actually set off this alarm. I just wasn't thinking. I had all the numbers right. Just not in the right order, and they have to be in the right order, right? I even called Michelle, but by then I got it. But I'm trying to be better about that, because I know if I leave it up to my power, my own power, I can't do everything. I will fail. And that's why I know we need grace, we need help, and we need Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. See, I already forgot.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Is it Cassie or Lana's turn?
It's Lana.
Okay, okay.
Is it? Okay. All right, there's no additions to that. It doesn't say those who are in Christ Jesus and do dot, 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 dot. Do whatever. Do, that would be circumcised, keep the Sabbath, keep any law, keep any festival traditions. It doesn't say that. It's just whoever's in Christ Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Let him, let his spirit guide you. Good works are going to happen. But they're going to happen not because they need to happen or you need to do them. It's because you'll want to do them. Anyone want to close this in prayer?